All right, what's up, everyone? Thank you for tapping in. And today we have our brown belt aficionados here. Did I say that right? Aficionados?
Aficionados?
Aficionados. I got to enunciate more.
I speak French.
So we got my man Jonathan here. He's a competitor and a leg lock master and a brown belt.
Well, I wouldn't say master, but you know.
A ligament destroyer, if you will.
I mean, I know I don't want to get into a leg battle with you. That's for dang sure.
All right, I'll take it.
Like, there's some people I'll get in leg battles with. I'm like, well, whatever. You can't do nothing. But, like, when I'm like, nope, let's not play that game. And then we got, you know, my man Evan, brown belt. Sleuth over here.
Sleuth.
I don't know.
I'm a big fan of the murder mystery genre. Mm-hmm. You know, I read some Hardy Boys in my day. Hardy Boys.
Okay, Evan. You, as always, you never fail to impress, sir. So much.
I forget every time he's on the show, I leave with like a little tear in my eye, like that fucking guy.
You know, we keep him around even though we know we shouldn't.
Yeah, like, no, listen. Don't introduce me to the parents.
When he said, let's get professional, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You know what, let's get professional. You know, let me ask a serious question. Let me start with you, Jonathan, because you coach, and mm-hmm. you've been coaching a lot of the leg lock classes in general. Mm-hmm. And I know you coach more than just leg lock, but like... For you as a coach, what do you think how has it helped you in your jiu-jitsu journey?
Well, it's basically been a part of the whole journey. Because when I started out, it was myself. You guys might know him, you know, Hanato, right? You guys call him Gennaro. I started out with him, and the class was very small. Eventually, it was just him and I. So mm-hmm. I ended up not, as Dwight Howard would say, I was the assistant to the coach, not assistant coach, for a long time. And then it just progressively became, you know, I'm just always the uke to, okay, now I'm actually helping other people to then, you know, he would be like, hey, I'm trying to get my, I think it's contractor's license. Can you cover classes while I'm doing that? So it progressively turned into, oh, I'm a coach now. So that was over a span of basically 8 years. Eight years. I've been training for almost 10 years. Actually, I might have been assistant to the coach for almost like the whole journey. So, but it's helped tremendously because when you have to be able to explain what you're doing, it's a lot different than actually just doing the move. I know you guys can be like, oh yeah, you just go here and here and here. Well, why are you saying here? Well, why aren't you going? You have to shift your hips. You have to, this is why you do this. This is why you have to put your calf here because that actually cuts off the artery. Versus if you put the crux of your knee in there, you actually create a little gap where the vein can get enough blood where you're not actually submitting that person. All these things and tie in. And now, like, if I see something, I can just explain why. Why does that work?
Okay. Sir Evan.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean...
He's just sipping his brewski over there. I know it's not a brewski,
but... day started. yeah, no, I really... When you're teaching moves, you're also kind of breaking them down in your head, right? Like, I was always told me when teaching, keep it simple. You know, that's really the key. You're first showing somebody a move, give them 3 steps to do that move in, yeah. Right? Once they understand the concepts of that 3 steps, you know, you expand. So at the same time as I'm showing those 3 steps, I'm also like, what are the most important 3 steps of this move? How do I break this down into 3 steps so I can translate this to somebody who, oh God, I've been helping out with the kids class and that every once in a while. And kids are, teaching kids are like herding cats, you know, like you're trying to like, it's amazing when you can show them something and it works and they get it and you're like, how the fuck did you get that? Like you've been staring off into space, like completely, you haven't been focused on this at all, but first for some reason, like you picked that up. Now it's in your muscle memory and you can do it on command. Kids are amazing like that. Even more so with adults, like I just taught a private last night, to somebody who is a very analytical thinker. And jiu-jitsu is not that serious, you know, like there's steps and there's things, but it's like you put your hand here, you block this, you lift your leg, you know, like I was teaching them a butterfly sweep and it's a bread and butter sweep. You know, once you understand that, I think you start to understand jiu-jitsu as a whole a lot more, mm-hmm. just as far as how that works, you know, offsetting, redirecting your opponent's leverage, all that. So yeah, I think in teaching you start to understand shit a lot more. And in showing and in the doing of that, I've become better at jiu-jitsu the more I teach, I think. At least my understanding, you know. It's good to know that you've been training 10 years now, John.
Yeah, I didn't because, know it was 10 years.
You will never understand how hard 15? It is to but I was going to say you'll never understand how hard it is to teach kids until you're running a big kids class.
Oh God.
Cuz when I was at a gym called Academy Jiu-Jitsu and Kickboxing mm-hmm. for a little more than 2 years, I was teaching the beginner 5 to, I think of the age group is 5 to 8 year olds.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, these kids know nothing. So you have to teach children from scratch. Okay. And like you said, it's like herding cats. Now you have to teach those cats how to do a fucking flip.
Right, yeah, so, exactly.
And at the same time, you have to make sure they don't kill each other. So
dude, 5-year-olds are the worst.
Dude, I had classes, right? The class range would be on a chill day, good day, 25 to 28, right? But I had so big mean. Fucking classes before, and I had up to like 45.
Yeah,
like, I'm pretty sure it went up to almost 50 at one point because we just had just a lot of kids in there.
Yeah.
And you have to run the class, create a program where, again, the three-step rule. You have mm-hmm. to go teach something in 3 steps or they won't pick it up. Mm-hmm. And then also at the same time, not let them break limbs.
Okay, yeah. Kids don't want to give up.
Well, it's not even they don't want to give up. They don't understand that that's broken. Like, if my arm is straight, that's broken. And I actually have had kids where, like, they'll put someone in a rear naked choke, and I will have every child face me while they're practicing that. Because I have to see, are your lips blue? you're okay. Like who's I'd be looking out on this giant classroom, and, like, your eyes, and I wear glasses, right? Yeah. So I can't see all the time. So I'm looking out, like, you look... Okay, all right, you switched, you're all right, you're alive. You're not moving. You haven't moved for a couple minutes. I need to go check on you. And so, yeah, but that's basically how it is. But yeah, I have been training since I was 15, but I do confuse time frames because I started when I was 15, but I turned 16 shortly after.
Okay.
So I think the more correct answer is 9 years and some change. Like, I'm almost 10 years, but I did wrestling before that. So I've been grappling for more than 10 years.
Okay.
But, I mean, fuck, it's just been so long, and I've done so many classes within a week for such a long period of time.
Just mm-hmm. makes me feel better about being manhandled by him all the time.
You didn't know I've been training for that long?
No.
No, it does make me feel a lot better.
So much better.
Oh, yeah, I'm one of those, you know, teenager jiu-jitsu kids.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's one of those.
Well, I wouldn't say prodigy, but, you know,
Yeah, let's not go so far.
Yeah, slow down there. I'm going to look like the biggest douchebag.
He's not, like, closing his eyes, tying his hand behind his back, being like, let's go.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you say that, because I have actually put my hands in my belt and been like, okay.
Oh, I love doing that.
It's my favorite thing.
It's one of my favorite ways to roll.
I will also close my eyes when I roll, mm-hmm. because I found out early on that when you can't see, you understand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need your eyes. Your eyes are there to deceive you.
Yeah, you're looking at nothing, right? And, like, if anything, you're looking intimately in this person's eyes, and it's getting a little weird. But yeah.
Nothing weird about that.
Yeah. You know what, Evan?
We have our socks
we're
off.
Doing it, but anywhere else, what? It's a little weird.
We have our socks
well,
off.
I don't do it to anybody else.
Well, our socks are off, so we can't keep them on.
Unless you're Casey. He always wears socks.
Casey's a wild
socks
one.
On the mat.
Shots fired, bro.
Socks on the mat are only appropriate when the mat feels like an ice block. That's the only appropriate reason. Jiu-jitsu started.
A lot of socks on the mat kind of guy.
Jiu-jitsu started in Japan, but it was indoors, and I'm fairly certain they had some sort of where the mat was not touching the ground.
Yeah.
So, and then in Brazil, when they were doing it, it's hot as fuck over there. So they brought it here. So when it gets cold, mats get icy.
Yeah, I'm still not socks on the mat.
Yeah, no, man, never socks.
Not socks on the mat.
Well.
Well, those like wrestling shoes, those in it, I know people that wear those in jiu-jitsu.
That's anybody who wears wrestling shoes while they're doing jiu-jitsu is an asshole. I will live by that. In jiu-jitsu, you're not supposed to have grip, goddammit. No. My feet slip and slide, your feet should slip and slide.
Also, like, I don't like toe-holding people in a wrestling shoe.
Well, it's a lot more...
You like getting up close and personal.
I'm going to break
it in between.
No, I want some jam. You know what I'm saying? Need that toe jam, that in-between.
Something
you know?
To sniff after they tap.
Yeah.
I was going to have a peanut butter jelly sandwich after this, but...
You still can, dude.
I am not.
Add the jam.
We got the jam, baby.
Oh, you got three people to donate.
Oh. We got open mat after this, you know.
Adding
nice
up.
And spicy.
He's never eating a peanut butter.
What was the question? I completely. We started talking about.
When we started talking about coaching and how it changed your journey.
And I started calling people who wear wrestling shoes assholes. And then we started talking about eating toe jam.
No, nobody said anything about. Oh wait, yeah, no, we did.
Yeah, we did. Jay's eating the toe jam.
Yeah, Jay.
Hardcore pass.
Okay. All right. I was just making sure.
Only if two of you guys can hold me down. That's the only way.
I can hold you down.
I think with the three of us here, we can definitely hold you down.
If one John can hold you down.
Yeah, you know the rule.
You're definitely in a dangerous situation right now.
I don't even think it takes two. I think one of us can.
Yeah, I think that's not. Let me get you half guard, DJ. I got you. You're not going to hold me down. You might, Jonathan.
Huh?
You might.
Might?
You might.
I might say a strong word.
No, you're really talented. Like I hate.
Damn, I hate it when he like compliments me because I'm so used to just being like, no. My last coach, if he heard like from a distance, oh, you're just really good at what you do, he'd be like, yeah, but he's not that great. But he's got some room for improvement.
Hunch down a little bit.
He's like, get your fucking ego back down here.
Yeah, you're telling me, man. The times that Al will compliment me are so few and far between.
You don't need it though. That's why.
Yeah. Oh well, and, yeah. And no, it, I mean, I'm just it fuels me now because it's usually like, God, Evan, yeah, explode a little bit more. I'm like, but I shrimped before I did that. You know, I'm getting better. I'm doing.
I think Alex is just trying to butter me up because he was saying some very, very nice things to me.
Was he?
When I first came back here from Louisiana and I moved here and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like the gym I was at is like now an hour away.
Oh sure.
But it's close to work, but I don't want to be in that area all day because I have to wait till 7 o'clock. I get off at 4:30. What am I doing in between? I don't want to also just fucking gym out there. I'm gonna come into the room smelling like stank.
That's what I'm saying.
So I was like, oh man, what am I gonna do? He's like, well, here. And I was like, well, that's true. I'm right here. And then he just started saying, like, you know, it would be an honor. And I'm like, oh, stop it.
And honor, no, that's how he ropes you in. Yeah. And once you're here, he's like, yeah, why don't you suck more?
He's like, hey, come in here, dumbass. Like,
I didn't get a sales pitch, so.
Oh. He was like, ah.
Your honor, having you here is amazing, man.
It's cool.
He didn't have to sell me. Like, I came in here one time. I was like, oh, yeah, this is a spot I need to be at.
It's a cult.
It's a healthy cult though.
It's a healthy cult.
It's a healthy cult.
I will say Forge. Forge is. Hold up. I know why you're looking like that.
Wait. Are we saying like because every school is a cult, but are we saying jiu-jitsu, the cult itself, is a healthy cult?
Yeah. I'm saying.
I was talking Forge.
Okay.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Forge. I've been to a lot of gyms. I've been to a lot of places. Right. Forge is a very healthy. You know, you come in, you have fun. We teach you cool shit. You have open mats on Sundays where. A bunch of people are going to come in and have a great time. But there are some places where, like, my coach is law. You know, like whatever he says goes. How dare you go against his teachings like he's the Messiah. You are not the Messiah. You are some dickhead who trained for 15 years, who won a couple of competitions, and you open to school. You are really good at what you do, but you are not Jesus.
Well, yeah. No, I think a lot of people forget that, like, a black belt in jiu-jitsu is just that.
That's it.
They're a black belt in jiu-jitsu. They probably really suck at life, you know, outside. Because, like, dude, you decided to open a jiu-jitsu school, you know? Like,
sorry, Alex, we're not talking about you.
No, Alex, you have made some really good financial decisions in your time. The amount of... Like, have you ever been approached by some lower belts with some real-life problems and they're, like, looking to you for guidance?
Yes.
Like... Dude,
you're the last person.
Can you use no names, but can you use an example?
Are you first?
Yeah, geez. I don't know. I get a lot of like what am I doing in life kind of problems sometimes. Like, you know, you get, it's all the same stuff. Like, if you're talking to dudes, it's like finances, girls, where am I? What am I? And I'm like, dude, I'm going to level with you. Yeah, I've been training jiu-jitsu for like 13 years, but I'm a fucking bartender. I've got a lot of debt. I don't own my own property, and I probably never will. Retirement, what's that? You know, like...
I want to be in a dive bar like, at 60.
You know, sure, I've lived. I've experienced a lot, but like... you know, all I can do is share the negative and hope you turn towards the positive, you know, like, I don't know.
You're going to get a van by the beach. Don't, like, you'll be fine.
Dude, listen, if I could live that, like, Mel Gibson Lethal Weapon life, I would be so happy. Little Airstream trailer, yeah. Right by the beach with my pickup and my dog.
You could. You'll own some sort of property.
Yeah.
It's property.
Yeah, it's property. Transmission. You know,
they still need a warrant to get in there.
Listen, yeah, no, you know that. Yeah.
What the fuck are you guys doing?
I am the danger. So innocent. It's like,
you need a warrant, though.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, isn't that the perfect description of ownership, right?
Well, like, they don't need a warrant to get into a tent, but, you know.
but an Airstream. An RV. Yeah, you get an RV.
They just need some keys for real. Just fucking rip a hole in that bitch.
You know, I was actually, speaking of warrants and statutes of limitation, I was watching someone on Instagram, and I don't know how true it is, but she was like, you should lock all your drugs inside of a box inside the car because they need a warrant to get into it. If they open it without the warrant, then your whole case is thrown out.
Don't
keep your drugs in your car.
Yeah, that's probably
Don't be an idiot. How about this? If you're going to do drugs, do it in the comfort of your home and don't transport a large amount.
But what if your home is the van?
Well, if your home is the van, then fucking put it under the floorboards.
Yeah. Hashtag van life, you know what I'm saying?
Leave it out as a box. And by the way, they lied to you. If they have reasonable doubt, they don't need a warrant. That's the biggest lie. Because people like fall for that on TV.
Yeah, okay. Reasonable doubt is...
I am not a lawyer by any means. Do not take any law advice. But I will tell you that it has been very clearly disproven that they do not need a warrant to search your car. And if there's a box in there or a bag, and they need to search that box because it might have contraband, they have every right to do so. Okay. So be careful.
I said it was on Instagram. I didn't say I was saying it.
But back to the question you had before about the people coming up to you.
Yeah.
Because I'm young, I have young kids coming up to me. Like, what am I going to do? So I kind of have, because I went to college and I had a scholarship. Uh-huh. Well,
this guy over here.
Fancy pants over here.
But if I could tell you anything, don't go to college unless you're actually going to take that degree and use something with it.
Yeah.
Like, we have a bunch of fucking debt everywhere for people who are working as baristas. Well, congratulations, lady. You are the best environmental scientist working my coffee machine.
What is your degree? I got a
BBA. So okay. Bachelor's of Business Administration. Okay. And I got that because eventually I want to get my MBA in something along the lines of operational management or financial management in, you know, some sort of company.
30 is going to be crazy.
That's my goal because, you know, I feel like I have actually a really strong ability to do all the operations side for that. Yeah. So I did do all the right steps. Now it's just I don't want to take a master's loan right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. But no, I do have kids coming up to me like, oh man, like school girls and, you know, fucking boys. They're like, oh, this girl broke my heart. She says she won't stay with me. I still do jujitsu. I say, fuck her. Yeah, kick her to the curb, dude. Man. You're 16. This 1 week relationship is not worth changing your life for. You know what's funny though?
Every single
I have like grown men come up to me for advice.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm like, dude, do you understand? Like, and at this point I'm like 22, 23. I'm like, do you understand that I'm like less than half your life?
Dude, it's because men go off the you beat his ass in his head you're alpha wolf.
Well, I guess
the more men you beat up, the more they look up to you.
That's a fair point, and I never really thought of it like that. That actually makes a lot of sense because these are all the people that I've sparred with.
Oh, okay.
And he's looking back at all the advice he's got. He's like, I did fuck him up. Not beat his ass.
Kindly, sure.
I would say, oh, go ahead.
No, no, but like, they'll ask me like, man, my loans are starting to catch up to me. I'm like, dude, I don't have any loans. What are you calling? Like because my mom, God bless my mom, I love my mom. She went to the military, gave me the ability to have a VA scholarship. Mm. So as long as I had good grades, they paid for my tuition. They just didn't cover the fees. So I don't have any student loan debt because of my mom.
Okay.
So, but I tell people, I'm like, look, if you don't want to get into debt, go to the military. Go get a good, if you're smart enough to go to college, right? If you're going to college and you're calling yourself educated, that doesn't mean you're intelligent. I just needed to say that.
Okay. Big fact. Let me clap.
Hold on. Mute everyone else's mic. Let this motherfucker speak.
So if you're smart enough to get into the military, you will not go to any frontline position if you are smart. You take the MASVAT or whatever test they have. DASVAT, whatever it is. I never took it, so I won't know. But you take that test. You do really good on that test. You treat that test like you would a college entrance exam or an SAT or anything. And you take that, they're going to say, you're really smart. We're going to put you in a leadership role. Mm-hmm. And then they put you in an area where you're practicing all the skills you would need for college, for work, for your life, mm-hmm. right? Even though you'll be living a very shitty life for 4 years, right? Because don't resign. Do the 4 years. You do 4 years of your life. You sacrifice 4 years of your life. You're getting paid. They're paying for everything, your housing, your food, your clothes. You just got to listen to whatever they tell you. And don't do anything stupid like put drugs in your car.
We're back to this, okay.
And you get out of that, and they will pay for everything. You will have great loans to pull for your home. Mm-hmm. You will have great student assistance. There are so many programs that help veterans with college. If you're smart enough to even go to college, go do that first. But don't be an idiot. Don't go to the military thinking, oh, after this I'll go to school, and then find out, I don't like school, and now you're stuck in there for 20 years.
Yeah.
Or you come out thinking you're a badass, and guess what? Nobody cares that you were a sergeant in the military. I respect everybody who's in the military because that's a very hard decision to make. But if you come out into civilian life and you're like, hey, pipe down, old boy. Like, you're not scaring me.
Look, I'll 100% agree with you on everything. I was in the military, so everything you said is like spot on. So, I think it's a great idea for anyone to, get ahead in life.
Well, that's just the way. But if you're double my age, stop asking me for advice. I'm not even 25 yet. Please, for the love of a God, I don't have any children. Don't bring up your children to me.
You do, dude.
I just got cats.
A lot of kids.
Well, I mean, that is true. I still have like my students from back then that I still watch them grow up. Like I just saw there's a girl, Aubrey. I met her when she was 6 years old, and her dad reached out to me. I was like, hey, you want to get like Froyo? Like Aubrey's been talking about you, and I just want to give her a chance to like say hi. And I was sure, why not? And after work, I just went over there, and dude, the size difference and my hair difference from when she was six, she's now 10. Yeah. That's 4 years. I was like, wow, has it been really 4 years? That's crazy.
It's nuts.
It's nuts.
She's still training?
No. But it's because it's not the end all be all.
It's
especially for kids.
Oh yeah, no, that's a phase a lot of the time.
I was gonna say, as you're up here in these ranks as brown belts, you said it's not the end all be all. What is the end?
What is the end? Happiness.
I like
happiness.
Let this man speak like you said.
I told you 10 minutes ago.
So something that I've discovered very early on, because when I was young, right, that bullying was a part of my life, which is why I got into wrestling and jiu-jitsu and kickboxing, Muay Thai, just all that stuff.
Okay.
And then I would do it very angry. I would be angry doing wrestling. I started off doing jiu-jitsu like angry, like using rage as a catalyst. But then I grew up more, and I'm like, you know what? The better I feel is when I'm happy. And that's a no shit idea, right?
Yeah.
However, you have people who, like you, you're like, what do I have to live for? My friend, I like to think that you are happy sometimes.
On occasion. It's spare. See, we got a 10-year age gap between us.
That's
so
true.
Like, you know, as you get through your 20s and into your 30s, you realize, like, I mean, you want to finish your thought, because I was going to say happiness is
relative.
A fallacy.
Right.
Well, it's just a true. Lie that we tell ourselves. Really, the true end game here is peace.
You know what?
You know yes, what I mean?
Correct.
I stopped looking for happiness because, you know, anytime I find a little glimmer of it, I'm like, oh, you're lying again. You know? It's like, if I can just maintain a certain level of peace in my life, and, right. and a lot of that is found through jiu-jitsu, luckily.
Yeah.
You know, I find that I am all around doing much better.
So Evan is in that unk stage, right? So, like, so he's now cynical. But I can say this because I'm in that same age bracket, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But I will say, you know what, that... Evan, you are spot on the money, because that's basically what I meant by happiness, mm-hmm. is that peace of mind.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, with a relationship, with whatever you do. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but I kind of cut back from jiu-jitsu a little bit, because I've been doing it for so long.
Sure.
And I was starting to feel a little burnout, and I was like, well, what else is there for me? I started doing rock climbing.
There's golf.
I've seen that. You're really good at it.
Fuck you. I will pick up some claws when unk status is my status. Yeah. But rock climbing, I started rock climbing more. Yo, and
my whole life I was like, golf's gay. I turned 30 in November, and recently I was like, golf does look good.
That's what I'm saying,
like,
man.
I said, everybody's golf doing it now. Is when you understand that you have reached unk status.
Yes.
But if it's jiu-jitsu is one of those things where, like, you love it because you always suck at it until you don't, but you always suck at it because there's always something better. Mm-hmm. Rock climbing has the same concept, except it's not another person beating you. It's a difficulty of climb and your lack of strength or ability to do that climb. Mm-hmm. So I started rock climbing more, and now I have found, like, this new, I've got that new peace of mind and happiness and mojo back. And, like, I got up to 205 pounds. Like, I just was, I mean, part of that was
grip strength.
Part of that was from Louisiana, because I went to Louisiana and ate a fuck ton of great food. God bless Louisiana, New Orleans.
Oh, you fucking up, bro.
Dude. I ate so much, dude. I came back like a beach ball. None of my pants fit. I threw out so many good clothes. I now fit in those clothes. They are gone. I can't get them again. Mm. So, but no, Evan.
Yeah?
Your turn.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question? I was just getting lost in the sauce over here. What are we talking about again?
We're just talking happiness. About how peace and happiness is the goal. And
oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you just got to... I mean, I haven't been able to train like I normally would like to. You know, ideally, I'd like to be in here 5-6 days a week. You know, and if you want to layer in doubles, great. But, you know, I'm old now, so I don't really like doing doubles so much anymore. But I've been still, after almost a year now, dealing with the same injury. Mm-hmm. I pulled my groin doing something I definitely shouldn't have been doing in my 30s last July.
I mean, you should be doing that up until your 80s, 90s if you're a lucky man.
Not riding mechanical bulls.
Oh, I was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We thought you were riding something else.
I thought you were hitting the baby boy jump squat.
No, listen, I
I never, ever, ever, ever again want to see you do this.
Yeah.
It's not.
Ever again.
God damn.
It was so intimidating.
Yeah, that was actually like, so that happened. Jesus, I was on the last time I was on the podcast, I think, we were talking about the super fight that I was going to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right, like the week after the podcast, I fucked up my groin. Riding this fucking mechanical bull. That was a mistake, you know. I stopped doing dumb shit since then, but, like, who knows what's gonna happen.
And how do you know something's dumb shit till it's too late sometimes, you know?
Well, like, I can tell
there's
you.
A little voice inside, man. You know, there's a little guy in there that's
hold on. Can we listen to the wise wisdom of the 22?
Almost 25.
I was joking.
Okay. But I can tell you how you know it's dumb shit. If you hesitate, if you go, all right, fuck it. Like, if you say fuck it before you do something, that's probably when you're doing dumb shit.
Probably dumb
like,
shit.
I will say that's probably not the safest thing.
So yeah, I've been kind of forced to take a little bit more time away from jiu-jitsu than I'd like. So like, whenever you're so used to doing something all the time, and then you kind of have to, like, you create a void in your life.
Yeah.
You know, how do you fill that void? How do you add on healthy things instead of, because it's really easy to fall into like unhealthy habits again, vices, whatever. Especially when a certain place of comfort is kind of out of your life for a little bit, you know. I hate showing up at the gym when I can't train. I've always kind of been that way. Like, and that actually has hurt me a little bit, I think, because, you know, presence, you know, be around,
yeah,
show up. Luckily, I've been starting to train more and more because, you know, I started to put on a little bit of weight and I was like, I can't do this because I hate going to the regular gym. Yeah, like a lot of weight. Like, dude, well, here's the thing. Like, I'm 200 now and I got up to like 205. And I've never been that heavy, but it wasn't a healthy 205. Like this little meatball here, you know, like he's got good muscle and like he's a strong. I mean, you're only fucking 180 or something now.
Oh,
right?
No. I'm 188.
You're 188. Okay. But like, I'm usually between 180 and 195, right? So being up at 205 after not working out and stuff, I'm like, this is bad.
Yeah,
like, I'm
yeah.
trading muscle for fat right now, and I'm getting chunky. So, like, I had to kind of get back in here.
You know what? I do remember that time where you were actually worried that we'd be in the same bracket.
Yeah,
because a little bit. You were like, wait, what weight class are you in?
yeah, like a little. I don't want to fucking fight you, dude. Are you kidding
like,
me?
I'm like, oh, this weight class, but adult. And you're like, oh, thank God.
Sweet. I don't want to fucking fight this guy
better
in competition.
Hope someone's in his
me?
Bracket so they
well,
don't combine them.
Competition jiu-jitsu is way different than it's when so I'm in
different.
This room.
Yeah, so different. We have fun out there. In competition, it would just. Oh.
I tell people all the time, like, when I'm competing, it's a whole different kind of jiu-jitsu. It's a very, you will never make good friends the way I compete. And the way you should compete, you should be competing like you're trying to win.
Agreed.
Right. But you're not trying to blow out somebody's elbow for a $3 medal.
Oh, God.
However, if I make them look not so nice in front of their friends and family, you know, that's, it happens, right?
It's your girlfriend now. when you have someone internal with their head in the mat, that's your girlfriend.
No, my favorite thing is when I get them now. Belly down into the what do you guys call it? When I have the hooks in, belly down, their legs are spread.
Oh,
and
they're just fucking getting prone bone.
The logo,
yeah, the logo. You guys call it the logo. I just call them fun times.
Right. Yeah.
I'll start prone boning, bro.
And from there, like I rip that nose up and I just go underneath that neck.
Vicious.
But. No, I can't believe how heavy you've gotten, and it's kind of upsetting me, because you used to be so good looking, and I'm just kidding.
This is an intervention, isn't it? This is why you guys wanted me here.
Well, no, like, no. Why the fuck would I be sitting here on your weight?
You've changed, bro. I was about to say, you really, like, really put on some
weight. Oh,
what the fuck? No.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Ultra Heavies, though. Yeah. No.
Never.
No, but Evan and I, you know, Evan, I've known you for a long time. And when did I first meet you? Was it like purple or blue belt? I think it was purple.
I was, I definitely met you as a purple. But I was a purple for like, while I was training with John Jock, he kept me at purple for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was sometime in there because when did you start? Shit, it was open mat.
Yeah, it was open
right?
mat.
It was open mat.
I think I was
at
a blue
the
belt.
Other spot.
Yeah,
right?
I was a blue belt.
It was open. Well, no, wasn't it even? It was way back.
Was it at Kings?
It was at Kings.
It was at Kings. Yeah,
I think it was at Kings that we
you know
we
what?
Met. So that
what's
was
funny
like,
is I might have known you all the way basically to white belt.
Really?
Because if you were doing open mat at Kings,
yeah,
I was a white belt during that time.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and then like right at I oh. with. Alex had moved
still
from Kings.
Brown belt. This guy, I know this guy since I was a purple belt.
Alex
he's a brown
had,
belt.
Had moved from Kings, and then I think around that time I was a blue belt.
Because
This was before 2020, right?
Yeah.
No, he was at Kings at 2020 during the COVID pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. We taped up all the windows and stuff, put the newspaper up and everything
okay.
so nobody could know we were doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so I was indeed a blue belt during that time.
Okay.
Okay.
Shit. That's how long I've known you.
Yeah.
I was like, listen, every time you've been promoted, I've been extremely happy. Though I do remember, you know, fucking you up as a blue belt. And then, like, you got better. I think it's honestly because you started teaching more wherever you were at. Like, you got promoted to purple, and then, like, you really got better. And then you started, like, getting a man body. And like actually building muscle right, and shit.
I was a boy at this time.
He was a little boy.
You were beating up a child.
No, listen. Dude, that's become one of my favorite pastimes. I'm not going to lie. I love beating up children. Like,
To be fair, I deserved it because I was a dickhead when I was a young man.
No, fuck that. I got cleared. The first thing I did was came here after my surgery. And the only thing I see you is judo tossing the fuck out of little kids on
open. Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. That's fun.
Oh, it's so much
it's
fun.
It's fun. Because I can. They're so light that I can make sure they fall in a safe way, but I also get to throw them any way I want them.
Oh, yeah.
Bro. Well, but during that time, I rolled with you, and then you were like, you see that guy over there? You're like, I used to beat his ass. You're like, I can't anymore.
You can't.
That's what my dad said when I turned 19. He tells you remember my dad, right?
Yeah.
He'll tell people, like, can your son beat you up? You failed your son. You failed your son.
Like, all right, talking about like knowing people for like a long time and like CJ, right? I've been beating him up for like the last 10 years. I knew him since he was 15. He's, you know, 25 now.
CJ
he's
started
purple
belt. Yeah. Wow, we started around the same time. Around he the same still fucking sucks. Time.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. Well, here's my thing. Like,
no, all love, CJ. All love.
Love that man. Love that man.
Not walking it back, but love. Like,
I'll tell you still this, suck and you know it, but I love you.
I'll tell this to his face. I'm like, listen, I planted a seed when you were young. Like, I was just beating you up constantly that now, don't look at me like that. I know the wording was funny. But like in his mind, I planted this seed that he would never overcome me. Right. Ooh. And to this day, he's still scared. Like when I'm like, CJ, let's roll. He's like, yeah. Yeah, okay. Fuck, Evan's going to beat the shit out of me.
No, I don't think that. I think that's just CJ, because I do the same thing. I'll be like, hey, CJ, you want to roll? He's like, fuck.
I love it. He's such a good sport, man.
Yeah, but no, I there's like same thing with like with me. When I went from blue to purple, I had a wall, right? Like there was just a certain wall that there was something that I wasn't clicking in jiu-jitsu. And then that point where I finally understood, I don't even know what it was that I didn't understand. I just, everything started working. Like all my moves, my techniques, I started sweeping black belts. I started like submitting black belts and I was a blue belt. And people were like, so when are you getting promoted? Because I'm getting demoralized right now. And I was like, okay. Yeah, when is that time? And then a few months later, that's when my coach recognized, and he gave me, you know, Hinato gave me my purple belt. But
I think he probably recognized right away, but he's like, I'm going to just fucking leave him there to make everybody else feel like shit.
Well, he follows the guidelines of, you know, John Jock, where you should be a long time period at that belt. So I was a 3-year white belt, 3-year blue belt, and for purple, I was at purple for like almost 3 years, you know, basically almost 3 years. And then I've been a brown from, I think, fuck, has it been almost 2 years? Yeah, I think it's, you know what, has it been 2 years? I'm having a real fuck up moment because I can't, the concept of time in my head.
What is it?
Because I used to train like 7 days a week, twice a day. I would just train so much that like I've kind of convinced, like mixed what I've been doing.
I did in a different place, man.
So I'm Casey. However, helped me kind of slow that down. He was like, "You need rest days." Like
Casey told you this?
Yeah, Casey did.
Casey.
Yeah,
our Casey.
Well, because
to be fair, he only comes in and stretches out and leaves.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Well, that's true. But no, but he's
setting up open mat.
He's a really good masseur, right? Yeah. Casey's a phenomenal masseur.
Oh, that man can put his hands on me anytime he wants.
Anytime he wants, because the way I had knots in my back for the longest time, and I'm too young to be hurting this much.
Yeah.
And so he just did everything to like help my back feel better. And my shoulders, I don't know how, but I'm moving my shoulders a lot more.
Yeah.
And he was like, dude, you just need like 2 days of minimal workout or nothing at all. And you know, I'm like, you know what? That's true. But I like to train. So I picked Monday, Tuesday started the work week. It's my busiest days of the week. I decided that those are my work days and my rest days. That's it.
Not a bad idea.
Evan, you almost got me, bro. I was like, I was trying to pay attention to the guy. You're talking about he could put his hands on me. And I'm like, yeah, shut up, just pay attention.
His hands are magical.
Nah, he fucking got me.
Magical hands. Like, magical hands.
I will say, it is very hard to submit Casey from a rear naked choke because his hands are just so strong. Like, he'll just grab my hand and just pull it down. And I'm like, I'm strong. This is stupid. And I'll just go to a reverse triangle, and then he can't deal with that. Yeah, that's the one thing that I'm like, gotcha.
He talks so much shit.
Oh, he does.
So much shit.
He does. But we love that man.
Yeah. One day I'll shut him down. But I do have to shut down this show because we're at that time.
Where that was smooth.
That was,
And,
that was smooth as fuck.
Open Matt, we got to open up for that. So, do you guys have anything you guys want to shout out or talk about before we get off real quick?
Yeah. Jiu-Jitsu is not the end of the world.
Oh, God.
If you want to try anything else, please do. And then jiu-jitsu will always be there because you can do the shit when you're old. So that's all I have to say is it's not the end of the world if you take a break and try something new. Thank you.
Wise words from my uncle over here?
Listen, I started golfing, speaking of trying new things. Definitely entered my golf era. But like also...
I try keeping it straight.
But like, all right, so like all the things that we do in jiu-jitsu, right? Once it starts to click and you start to understand, you start to like be able to attach that to other things in your life. Like I'm a big metaphor guy, analogies, I love them. And being able to connect jiu-jitsu to other skills that I'm learning and other facets of my life that I'm trying to improve is super helpful. And it almost gives you a leg up on doing other things, I think, and that connects to anything, right? Like whether it be jiu-jitsu or other fighting styles or just practices that you've done for a long time, being able to link those things. I guess that's a certain quality of mastery. So like do everything, learn everything. Or as much as you fucking can, because that's really, you know, if we're bringing it back to jiu-jitsu, anything you learn outside of here is going to connect and make your jiu-jitsu understanding even better. You know, life experience, that's what it's all about. And keep your peace. That's really the most important part of it all. Thank keep you, your Unk. Fucking peace.
You know, it's funny. I'm like resident Unk. I'm the oldest one here, by the way.
Yeah.
How old are you?
30. I'll be 38 this year. 37.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. Wait, I thought you were older.
No, he's like 33, 34.
Just in here, buddy. Just in here.
I could have sworn somebody said you were like 40.
No, I'm turning 35 this year.
Oh,
but dude, thank you, somebody, for saying that, you know?
I know Casey's old as fuck.
Casey's old as the fucking hills.
Casey's exactly.
He's flipping us off.
Thank you guys for tapping in. And, DJ, it's all you, son.
Hey, bro, you guys are some funny fucking guys. Thank you. That was a good fucking time.
Always.
This was really fun. Feel free to ask me to come on again.
Any day, man.
I like talking. Talking's fun. Sir.
No, we definitely enjoyed like fucking spectacular. Dang it. I've been trying not to curse. It is like
you picked the wrong fucking guest, dude.
I've done really well today to not curse.
Yeah. Fuck, cunt, shit.
Well, there it goes. I'm usually every other fucking word out of my voice.
All that out.
Oh shit.
That'll go away in post.
Yeah,
we'll edit it out.
You know, other than that, look, if y'all got beef. Come to Forge. You know, you got three people here, and then Casey. Oh, he said he's running away. Definitely ask for him first when you're fresh.
No, 100%. When you're fresh, when he's fresh, he needs it. When he's fresh, you know. Otherwise, he's like, now my back, my knees, elbows a little bit janky today.
I do love those excuses.
Yeah. Mm. No, but come by Forge, they're come train.
they can try.
We really like that, this is a place without politics. Anybody and everybody can come train. Yeah. We started a girls only open mat couple of Saturdays throughout the month. It's starting to happen more often. Okay. I think there's another one. What is it? I don't know if it's next weekend. Maybe the, is it the 10th?
No, they just had one.
I think there's another one coming up in May. I saw.
Well, keep an eye out on our Instagram, because anytime that I know we have one coming up, I post it up there. So
yeah, you
know.
We've been getting a great turnout for that. I've been seeing the post open mat pictures. It is female only. Come if you train, please. You know, let's just keep spreading this.
Dope. Yeah. DJ, sign us off, bro.
My bad, I had a joke. Like, comment, subscribe, and you know, see you next time.
All right, y'all stay blessed.